Harper Audio presents Jesus Wants to Save Christians, A Manifesto for the Church in Exile, by Rob Bell and Don Golden, read by the authors.
Hello, and welcome to our book, Jesus Wants to Save Christians, A Manifesto for the Church in Exile. I'm Rob Bell.
And I'm Don Golden.
And we wrote this book together over a couple of years, working together and discussing together. And this book has arisen out of our friendship. So we are locked in a studio, and we are going to attempt to read our book.
We are.
We're going to read our book to you. Okay, so Don and I have not divided up who's going to read what. We're just going to go with this, and when one of us feels like we've read enough, then the other one will jump in, and we may add all sorts of things along the way, because what happens when you write and then you have time to think about it is you end up having this commentary on what you've just written, and then I'm sure the other one will have commentary on our commentary on what we've written. So we'll just see what happens, and we hope you enjoy your experience with the audio version of Jesus Wants to Save Christians. So this is, first section is the introduction to the introduction. There's an actual introduction, which we'll get to in a little bit, but this is the introduction to the introduction.
This is a book about a book. The structure follows the narrative of the Bible, which means that there's a progression here, each chapter building on the one before it. If you skip ahead, it's not going to make much sense. But before we begin, a disclaimer and a shout-out or two. First, the disclaimer. In the scriptures, ultimate truths about the universe are revealed through the stories of particular people living in particular places. As this book explores, the nation of Egypt and the Jewish people feature prominently in the biblical narrative. When we write of Egypt then, we are not writing about Egypt today. When we mention the Jews then, we are not speaking of our Jewish friends and neighbors today. We realize that some of these words, such as Egypt and the Jews, have power to evoke feelings and thoughts and attitudes about the very pain and division in our world that this book addresses. We join you in this tension, and we believe that the story is ultimately about healing, hope, and reconciliation.
And now a shout-out. This is a book of theology. This is a book of theology. The word theology comes from two Greek words, theos, or thea, which means God, and logos, or logos, which means word. So theology is a word about God. Anybody can do theology.
Yes, you.
Yes, you. You can do theology. This book is our attempt to articulate a specific theology, a particular way to read the Bible, referred to by some as a New Exodus perspective. Now, one New Exodus scholar is a British theologian named Tom Holland, who has done pioneering work in this approach. We are grateful to him for his groundbreaking take on the story of Jesus. He has liberated these profound truths about what it means to be human, and we celebrate that with him. One more shout-out, which is actually a massive shout-out. We are part of a church, a community of people learning to live the way of Jesus together. For their love and support and critique and questions and example and insight and hope, we are deeply grateful. You know who you are. Grace and peace to you, and thanks. Now, on to the real introduction, which is called Air Puffers and Rubber Gloves.
Introduction, air puffers and rubber gloves. The first family was dysfunctional. At least that's the picture painted by the storyteller in the book of Genesis. The first son, Cain, was angry with the other first son, Abel, because the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Cain said to his brother, "Let's go out to the field." And when they went, Cain killed Abel. According to the story, Cain worked the soil while Abel kept flocks. One was a farmer and the other was a shepherd. A farmer is settled. A farmer has chosen a piece of land and settled there because he's decided that this land can best support his crops. He has a strong sense of boundaries. This land, the land that he lives on and farms, is his land. A shepherd is nomadic. A shepherd goes wherever there is food for his flock. A shepherd wanders from place to place. A shepherd doesn't have a strong sense of boundaries because he sees all land as a possible spot for him to stop and feed his flock. It wouldn't take long for the shepherd and his flock to cross onto the property of the farmer. And that would raise the question, whose land is it anyway? This question would have many dimensions, economic, political, religious, social, let alone the personal aspects of ownership and property and progress and wealth. The story of these first two sons is actually a story about progress, innovation, and the inevitable forward movement of human civilization.